Welcome to the Coffee and Code podcast, where we bridge the gap between technology and people through each informative episode. I'm your host, Ashley Coffee, technologist, two-time TEDx speaker, and CEO of Coffee and Consult. On this show, you'll hear exclusive interviews with experts, innovators, creatives, and business owners in the tech space and beyond. Whether you're a novice or a tech enthusiast, my goal is to excite, inform, and empower you to understand how the rapidly evolving world of technology impacts your daily life. Let's dive into today's episode.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Coffee and Code. I'm your host, Ashley Coffee, and I'm joined by a special guest today, Mr. Josh Bankston, partner of Mace Virtual Labs and speaker. Welcome to Coffee and Code, Josh.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Likewise. It's been a long time coming. You are deeply involved in the technology industry and emerging tech, XR, as we know it. And for those listening, XR is the umbrella term. Most people that are listening know that, but just as a little reminder, that encompasses augmented, virtual, and mixed reality. When we use the term XR, that's what we mean. Josh, you wear a lot of hats and you do a lot of things. You're an innovator, you're an entrepreneur, you keep your finger on the pulse and you're constantly going. Like, I don't know how you have all the energy that you do. I'm very impressed. So tell us a little bit more about yourself and who Mace Virtual Labs is.
Yeah, so myself, I'm 13 years veteran of the XR industry. So I've been a part of this vibrant community and working in the B2B space and its ecosystem ever since this really got started. I've spent a lot of time building communities and organizing events and working with everything from trade organizations like the XRA to really powerful and impactful groups like XR Women, IEEE. I am now the chapter president for the VR ARA in Houston.
Congratulations.
Appreciate that. I chair a board of advisors for Houston Community College, and then I also work with the IXA, which is the Immersive Experience Association Alliance, nice. To help bring in partners and industry into that group, which is focused on academia education with immersive experiences. I help with the Houston VR community. I mean, it's just at heart, I'm a believer in what XR is possible in affecting the world and changing how we see things and changing and interacting with each other and just making us more capable through this new technology. And so I've made it a goal for myself to be a part of the conversation, to be a part of the community, and to help this knowledge not be behind closed doors and to be able to be broadcast out amongst everybody out there that's looking for it. And then at Mace Virtual Labs, what we've been building for the last 8 years is a place that does distribution and turnkey services for businesses. Mm-hmm. Because it's one thing to say as a business, I would love to use cutting edge technology. Well, that's great, but what problem are you solving? How do you find return on investment? Why is it important? How do you beat the so what questions? Mm-hmm. And then how do you actually get it in your hands and deploy it? So mm-hmm. Mace, what I've helped build here is this service package that not only helps businesses procure the right tool for the right job, but does all the last mile delivery services like provisioning, kitting, customization, doing all the little last minute details that are really needed to make it a realized product.
Which is so exciting to be in that world industry right now. It's, you know, as you've seen, being a veteran in that industry, it's had its hype cycle. It's had its different times to go through different iterations. And you've actually deployed and implemented here in Oklahoma, right? In Tulsa?
Yeah.
So small world, another beauty of technology. It brings us all together.
Exactly. I mean, this technology reaches across all silos is one of the things that I think is really exciting about it, because industry itself tends to start to be more insular and isolate itself more and more into these individual pillars. Mm-hmm. And folks focus entirely on what their goals are, what their metrics are, what their data streams are. But this technology is so all-encompassing at times that it helps build bridges in thin air that weren't able to be achieved without this technology in place.
Yes, I agree. That's very well said, making the intangible tangible. And also want to share with the audience a true testament to the level of detail and craftsmanship and just expertise that Mace Virtual Labs brings to everything it touches. You were so kind to give me this beautiful Mace Virtual Labs head-mounted display case, HMD case. So it's beautiful, it's amazing, and you told me that it went through several iterations. Do you want to talk about that real quick? Because I think it's just a really cool thing. I've never seen anything like it. It is my number one thing that I use when I transport my VR headset. So talk us through how you innovated to get here.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, necessity is the mother of invention, right? And there are tools and there are solutions out there, but the devil's in the details, meaning like there's a lot of little nuanced things that happened when it came to building that specific case. And the purpose of deploying that case was that we wanted to show the industry and our peers and our colleagues that you can do something in a marketing way that had true real world use. Because in a lot of spaces, you know, you'll get a little USB hub or something that has some level of usability. But for those of us that are traveling all the time, which is, you know, 28 times in the last 18 months, having something to protect your devices is important. And a lot of us are probably guilty of just, you know, shoving it in your backpack, throwing it in a suitcase and hoping for the best. Having something that is durable, that is sleek, that is wipeable, that has things like a shoulder strap in case you're trying to like carry a bunch of things all at the same time.
Always.
Distinct pouches for additional accessories, enough room for multiple different types of headsets to fit into it. So I think we went through four or five different iterations of the case before we landed on the right external materials, the right form and fit, the right colorways, and the ways that it was just accessible. So it may seem on its face just a simple carrying case, but a lot of time, effort, and thought actually went into it. And also, because we did all that work on the front end, now customers that want to deploy something similar, they want their own colors, they want their own shapes. They can order the same thing with their own logos on it. So, you know, maybe you could even have a coffee case, right?
Oh my gosh, that is so awesome. Thank you for sharing that, Josh. I think that's really important to talk through like the iterations of what the why, but also the result of it too. I remember, I think it was 2020, I was working as a director of technology and integration at a VR place here in Tulsa, or in Oklahoma, it was at Tulsa. And the only way that was available to me at the time to brand our headsets was to use my little Cricut machine and do little vinyl cuts and then put it on the front, and it worked at the time. And the only other alternative was like these cheap looking wraps that went on it. And it wasn't providing that look of professionalism and credibility that we really wanted. And that's like, this is like a perfect meet in the middle of functionality, but also good marketability, but also good form factor, because you're not wasting any space. The space is utilized in very intentional ways. And I'm a big fan of people that are intentional about cases, because I watch them very closely, especially when Meta first came out with their Quest, the Oculus Go. There was no case that came out from Meta for that. So seeing them iterate for the Quest 2 case, the Quest 2 case was terrible, in my opinion, and very overpriced. So thank you for, I love free market. It's available for great opportunities like these. So thank you for sharing that.
Of course, absolutely.
So Josh,
the Cricut thing, I wanted to point out, like, the right tool for the right job. I'm a big proponent of it. Sometimes it doesn't make sense to invest in extra cases or extra things. Sometimes just a sticker and branding is fine. Sometimes you want unique options like laser engraving, so that the device, that you can't remove the labels because it's permanently owned by a certain group or corporation. So it's always keeping the mindset of, yes, the cutting edge tools are great, but let's keep an eye on what problem are we solving? How are we doing it intelligently? And how can we think with a mindset of iteration and building on the shoulders of giants instead of having to reinvent the wheel?
Thank you. Thank you. I see too many people trying to reinvent the wheel and getting burned out along the way.
I mean, this is a marathon. Yeah. Again, last 13 years, I've seen a lot come and go. We're talking about hype cycles, right? There's been a lot of folks that thought that they could make a quick buck on something that was just overhyped, and they could do a three-point PowerPoint slide and get in, get some funding, but never really have the capability to do that implementation. Building a business in tech or otherwise takes a lot of long-term effort and the ability to see that it is a marathon. the sprinting, the make the quick buck overnight, those almost always tend to just fizzle.
Yep. Yeah. I teach a podcasting class here at OU, and we were talking about pod fade and essentially being where it can be two things. One, you become disinterested in a podcast when you're listening to it because it becomes so long and drawn out. Or a podcast comes on the scene, they publish a few episodes and they just die off because they never publish again. It's that consistency. It's the marathon. It's the one thing that you ask there, what are we trying to accomplish? Like, if you can't answer that, then what are we doing? So my question for you, Josh, you know, being a turnkey service provider here, what kind of trends are you seeing with the companies that you consult and advise with? Are you seeing a more dependency or a greater investment in VR for upskilling and training? Tell us more.
Yeah, certainly. I think in business, we're finally seeing the end of what we call pilot purgatory, where an organization or a champion inside of that organization will have a great idea, will get a little bit of funding, they get approval to do 5, 10, 50 headsets or something along those lines. And then they do that, they have a great run of it, they have anecdotes that maybe they even thought well enough ahead and got empirical data sets that showcase the efficacy of what they did, and then they just kind of fizzle. But now what we're seeing today in this age, we're seeing a lot more companies able to showcase that these tools are effective, that ROI is not just met, but succeeded. And companies are also starting to see their competitors outpacing them. And so now there's kind of this race to make sure that you're not being left behind in the technological space. And I think one of the industries that is really leading the way is education. So academia, K through 12 and higher education, both are investing heavily in the immersive space. So we're starting to see tools deployed in the thousands to tens of thousands of units across either school districts or large universities and things like that.
Would love to get your commentary on why you think that is. Like, why do you think that uptick is happening? Why do you think that buy-in is happening now?
Well, I mean, for the longest time, we had a chicken or the egg problem, right? You can't have compelling hardware without really killer software that can drive it. And you can't have investment in this software that costs a lot of money to develop and create and implement without hardware to drive it. And so we've had market saturation long enough, I think, both in the consumer space, but also for companies that needed to take their time, needed to have due diligence, needed to go through their paces to prove out these concepts. Now things are just starting to get their stride. And it's allowing companies that are kind of these behemoths or just take a lot longer to redirect their course the opportunity to have that uptick. The other thing that I think is important is, and I can't be overstated, champions inside of an organization are key and critical to technological adoption.
Yes.
You have a lot of folks that don't really understand how to open an Excel document, let alone driving a VR headset, right? It's like a foreign thing to
a lot of people. Fair. Yeah.
And so without those champions driving adoption, ensuring that the devices and applications are used, that somebody is going out and trying to find what is the latest and greatest, what is the next tool that we're not aware of because you don't know what you don't know, you won't find the successes. So you have to have both champions and the ability from leadership to empower them. And so now that XR is more widely known about, more widely accepted in just the common ether of society, more folks are standing up and saying, hey, this would be really cool if, or hey, what about that, right? So they're asking the question, they're posing it to their leadership, they're getting more approvals, and they're finding each other within organizations, which allows kind of that infrastructure build to then roll out across the organization. And again, I think it's really key that there's a lot of other organizations out there that are finding success. And so, like I said, there's kind of that race to make sure that you're not left behind.
I like that you mentioned that too, because I see that here in Oklahoma as well, especially for small and medium-sized businesses looking for ways to integrate AI or emerging tech such as AR or VR. And I'm curious from your perspective in looking at this uptick and this engagement and the intentional ways, what are some specific examples that you've seen that have exceeded the expectations of what a client had? So for example, I'll share one that surprised me during when I worked as a corporate consultant. I had the opportunity to check out Accenture's VR space that they made in Altspace, rest in peace. And they worked directly with Altspace to make a digital twin environment of their Deloitte headquarter offices. And they gave like a virtual tour, and they talked through how and why they designed each piece the way that they did. And what it was is they took the standard, like, welcome to Accenture, like, book, handbook, that's it, boring things, and distilled it into a VR experience. So, for example, if I want to learn how to avoid phishing tactics, I go out on a little dock and there are fish coming out, and I get to catch fish and read about phishing tactics and how that impacts an employee and the company overall. So it's just a much more tangible and exciting and different way to engage with something that's a material that's traditionally boring. And I loved that as a use case example. And I think another aspect of why we're seeing so many different things is the use cases have definitely expanded. And now that people can see what the possibilities are, they're like, oh, okay. So curious, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think you bring up a lot of good points. One of the threads I'll pull out of that is, I think one of the ultimate goals of immersive experiences, which is a sense of presence. Mm-hmm. What you're constantly trying to achieve in really any experience is that sense of presence. How much of you, how much Ashley is in the experience, and how much Ashley is thinking about tax season, and did you lock the door this morning when you walked out, and do you have to go run some errands, and all these other things that add to this cognitive dissonance, right? This kind of chatter in your brain that says, oh, well, you should be thinking about this, and you should be worried about this, and just the overall stresses of life. I think the more technology we're stacking, sometimes the more distractions we have. And if you're trying to get somebody to focus in on a specific goal, such as HR training, which can be tedious or some other kind of pejorative, you need some ways to engage your audience. You need a way to make sure that they're present. Mm-hmm. So with the immersive technology, when you put somebody... Yes, and track it. So that was my next thing, right? So getting into the headset, getting into the experience eliminates a lot of that chatter, eliminates a lot. It puts a sense of blinders on and says, we're in this experience. This is what we're doing. And then you can use it at really cool tools like what Cognitive 3D has built. So being able to build empirical data sets, not anecdotal, like felt like I understood, or I think I did the training well. Now you have empirical data sets which says, I can prove that you spent this much time in this room, that you paid enough attention to these things. I can go back and revisit the things that I think that we need to hone in on, and I can build a better experience for you individually. Right? So it's that sense of like personalized medicine. This is like personalized training. It's personalized academia. It's personalized just experiences overall. And then one of the key buzz terms, of course, AI, right? I see, you know, we have this ability to build content faster. I like to say that we are quickly approaching a time and place where humanity will be able to create at the speed of imagination. And with tools like AI coupled together with XR, you're going to unlock a whole new breed of people that will be able to challenge the norms by saying, well, I can dream this up. I can just make it. I can ask these tools. I can talk to them. I don't even have to type. It will interpret what I'm after, and now it will build it. And as we have the proliferation of XR tools, now I can be immersed in what I've built, right? So we're starting to see some of that hockey stick moment happen. So I'm really excited for what's coming.
That's amazing. And I'm curious, have you had those aha moments in your work where you're like, you know, wow, I'm really glad to be doing this work that I'm doing because it combines the intersection of technology and education and entrepreneurship and innovation and learning something new? What has been the aha moment for you, Josh?
I think every time I get to help a team or even an individual find ROI in what they're spending their time doing, and that return on investment doesn't necessarily need to be dollars to dollars. It's just effort in to output achieved, right? I'm a tech nerd my whole life. I love technology for a multitude of reasons. And I love connecting with people. And so being in this intersection allows me to continue to help folks find the answer. I believe hoarded knowledge is wasted knowledge. And so ways that I can broadcast out and help communicate what is possible and really dream big. And then seeing people realize on those dreams is just a stellar thing. I think it's one of the key achievements of humanity to be able to do something.
Right, right. Wouldn't it be nice to be a full-time hype person where you just like hype people? They reach their dreams and their goals and you're like, yes, you're doing it. I'm happy for you. It is truly, it's like if you could bottle that up, it'd be amazing. I'm appreciative that you mentioned that because it's important to really focus in on. And across the work that you've done and you've seen, I'm really glad that you have honed in on this no gatekeeping notion. And it's so important to continue to model that behavior for others because entrepreneurship is difficult. It's hard. That's one thing I really love about the VR industry that I've always felt that has been a through line since day one has been no gatekeeping. And that's what that's what I've experienced. Yeah. First experience ever in VR, Chris Madsen took us through VR and Engage with an Alan Watts video, 360. And I was like, oh my God, my life has changed. This was 2018. And here we are now, which is kind of wild.
Yeah. Chris is great people. Yeah. He's a special person in the industry. And if you ever get anyone ever out there gets a chance to spend some time in VR or otherwise with him, I definitely highly recommend it.
Agreed.
One thing I will say that I think was really cool that I came across years ago was research that was used with folks that were paralyzed, and it was a study into neuroplasticity and how could we activate the brain's ability to repair itself in unique ways. And one of the cool things about it was that they put participants into, like kind of the sensor net, the EEG array on their scalp, read their brain waves. They helped retrain them to think about activating the right parts of the brain for walking, for moving, for locomotion. And then after they retrained them, then they put them in a mechanized gantry that like attached kind of an exoskeleton to their body. Mm-hmm. And they thought about walking, they thought about moving, then their avatar in VR, well, they were wearing a headset, would move, and then they would feel their body move because their gantry would move, and the brain regrew neural pathways past scar tissue in ways that, was not accessible without these kinds of technology. It just showcases, I think, how powerful the mind is and how powerful this technology is to allow us to go past our own preconceived blockers and find ways to really harness what power we already have within ourselves.
Yes. Yes to that. And I couldn't agree more. I had SoundSelf on the show once to talk about their technology, and I initially found SoundSelf through their original version, which was you download it from Steam and you meditate audibly and you receive visual stimulation into that experience. And so like the louder your ohms or your meditation gets, the more vibrant. And it was a very interesting experience, but they ended up pivoting into a clinically administered, not necessarily VR experience, but a kind of VR experience where light is administered in different millimeter wavelengths and different patterns and times through a pair of a head-mounted display with light paired with a sound. I don't think there's any haptics, but that right there is actually helping promote the long-term effects of ketamine therapy for people who are dealing with PTSD or depression. So because you have to go get regular ketamine treatment when you're going through, and they actually have proved that doing this particular therapy can increase the outcomes of the ketamine treatment in a positive way. So you're right. What I'm getting at is, yes, the brain has so many mysteries that we will be yet to have solved in our lifetime, and we will continue to see new things. So I encourage people to pay attention to the research that's coming out. I love setting up a Google alert for VR research or following Google scholars, my favorite researchers that are in the field. Aaron Gluck is one of my favorite ones that studies accessibility in VR. Regine Gilbert at NYU. There's so many awesome people in the space. And that's another thing I wanted to mention is while the space may seem large and like untamable to the outside, it's actually kind of a small knit community, I would say. And it's really at the beginning too. And we're just seeing kind of the beginning stage of what this community will grow to be. So it's cool to be a part of it.
Yeah. And like you said, this industry has a lot of folks that are focused on the no gatekeeping mantra, right? So if you find some research, you know, 99 times out of 100, you could reach out to that researcher directly or their team and have a lengthy conversation about what's going on. And you can oftentimes get involved or find ways to connect and synergize. One of my favorite tools that I've been using a lot recently is Google's Notebook LM.
Yeah.
So I'll load in research and I'll have it create an audio narrative based on the research. So while I'm driving through the streets of Houston and stuck in traffic forever, I'm constantly downloading new information and just being clued into all the things that are going on.
That's so cool. And that's a great use of it. I used LM to do a podcast episode at the end of last year, kind of like a tech roundup where I did the research and created the material and just put it in there and had them read off of it. But I like the idea of putting in manuals or large research papers and having it actually develop an engaging conversation. It's like curating your own personal podcast, really.
It is. It's a cool tool. And it's really interesting to see how, again, all of this technology landscape is kind of converging together, right? How all of these tools, they're finding feature parity with each other, kind of one-upping each other. It's really interesting to see how we are getting close to a place where you can do straight text to reliable 3D models. There's tools like meshing things out there that you can get some stuff out of it, but text to NeRFs, text to full 3D realized environments. I mean, we are not far off from a holodeck type of experience where you can literally just say a few words and then be transported there.
Which is wild to think about. And if anyone that's listening knows all of the technical things that go into developing a 3D asset, there's a lot. You've yes. got like your vertices, geometric shapes, your shading, your texture. There's a lot. So it's funny that you say that. I remember people thinking that if you brought in like a two-dimensional image, you could just get that into VR or 3D print it. It's like, well, you don't have the data there to pull that information.
And it's still, a lot of these things are still very expert systems, meaning sure. like it is a tool that will be driven by an expert. Now, novices okay. can try and do things, to be iterative, to deploy large, effective outcomes, the experts in 3D modeling, the folks that are, it's their day job day in and day out, are going to be the ones that are going to most utilize the tools. But what's happening there is, you know, instead of an 8-hour day, they have 1,000% increase in their efficacy so that they get, you know, 8,000 hours in an 8-hour day.
Yes, that right there, I'm going to pull it as a social clip because I want people to hear it. Say it again for the people in the back, because truly though, as someone who is a full-time business owner and runs a podcast, which are two businesses, one is profitable, one is not, I do the podcast for yeah. education, and that's success to me. So you got to ask yourself what success means to you if you're developing a podcast. But the through line there was just the fact that one, so many things are changing. Two, it's an exciting time to be alive. But three, you have to adapt. And if you don't know how to adapt, you're going to be left behind. And the cool thing about being a millennial is that we are the last generation to have experienced that transition from not a technical world to a technology world of constantly yes. being surrounded by technology. And I mean, I'm sure there's going to be research someday that shows a different impact on brain and neuroplasticity. But I'm looking forward to seeing that. I'm a classically trained violinist. So by default, my neural plasticity, neural pathways but between left and right brain are thicker. So things can travel faster moving forward. But you lose the opportunity to build those connections past 12, 15. So the ability that VR could rebuild those pathways, like you mentioned, is really promising for a lot of different applications. So thank you for sharing that.
Absolutely.
So with Mace Virtual Labs, what are you currently working on right now that you can talk about that you're really excited about?
That's a good question. So we're working really closely with, you know, major OEMs to help refine and build out their tools and features that are provided in conjunction with their hardware. Really trying to help enable businesses and be ready for these really large scale deployments. Again, we're talking like 10, 20, 50,000 units deployed across organizations. So building out our facilities, you know, I have a workroom where I can plug in between 800 and 1,000 headsets. So just it's fun to be able to do what I've been saying for the longest time, which is build infrastructure in preparation for larger and bigger successes. And then constantly, you know, dreaming big with our customers. We just helped finish a deployment for 500 headsets for brand ambassadors of a major brand that is going to take individual headsets out to individual brand ambassadors to do activations and showcase kind of like that farm to table narrative kind of thing, but taking it out into the field. And again, being able to hear the goal and then say, okay, we're going to check all these boxes for you. We're going to do all this setup, all the preparation. If you have the investment, if you have the dream, we're going to help you make it a reality. And we deployed. It took a couple of Hail Marys, a couple of things because of shipping delays and some other fun stuff. Involved getting on a plane and doing some last minute deliveries. But we made it happen. We had a post-event debrief actually today.
Nice.
And we're excited about, you know, next steps. So it's just fun to be able to see the realization of some of these large projects where you have all hands on deck, everybody working around the clock for 10 days straight to deploy a large batch of devices. And then after the event gets deployed all over the place, get to come back and say, here's the success. Here's what we learned. Here's what we want to refine. Here's where we want to find success in phase two.
Amazing. And just the fact that y'all are doing debriefing, I think so many people don't do that. And that's such an important part of the process to do. And I'm so happy that you're doing this. And I can't wait to see it launched and figure out what brand it is. Because I have been trying to convince people here in Oklahoma, people that run influencer agencies, marketing agencies, that VR activation is coming. It's like, it's here. And it's such a way to stand out and engage with your audience in a different way, or with your brand ambassadors or influencers, and track that ROI. So that's, congratulations on that. That's really exciting. And I can't wait to see that come to fruition. When can we expect to see it?
I will say it was very much a team effort. So Mace was, I like to say, a very integral piece, but it was not just us because we don't create the software, right? So there's very great work done by the software firm over at Trigger XR. And then it was actually one of the activations was recently here at the PGA Tour, the Houston Open, over the weekend.
Whoa.
Like you said, these activations, not coming around the corner, they're here, they're happening, right? They're out there at some of the biggest events, and the companies that are investing in them are finding that are.
Can you do a quick explanation of what an activation is? Because I pulled my class today, which is mostly Gen Z, and they had no idea what it was. So would you mind sharing that for the audience of people that may not know what an activation is?
Yeah, of course. I mean, if you think about it, you have a moment in time with a group of people and you want to clue them into either a narrative or an experience, or you just want to get, you know, the juices flowing in their head. You want to get them thinking about something. You want to take them along on a journey. It could be just one of the most common things is brand activation, meaning I am Levi Jeans and I want to express what it's like to build a brand and to build a company and a team that is great at manufacturing and represents certain iconic things. And so how do you convey all of those messages that are very complex details that can be very disparate? They're all over the place in one cohesive experience or one cohesive narrative. So an activation is going to a space, going to an event like the PGA, going to a conference, taking over a certain amount of area, and then using tools in innovative ways to help build that message. So instead of just slapping up a commercial on a TV screen, it's a way to engage you actively into that experience so that folks that choose to share their time and invest their time in being there with you and be present with you have the opportunity to embark on that journey. So having an activation is a way for a direct relationship to be built. Rather than just shotgunning stuff out into the wild, you build that relationship between you, the activator, and the audience.
Yeah, absolutely. It helps you maintain that brand mission, vision, values, and execute it very strategically. And also the sidecar benefit is you leave with promoters who are now advocates for the brand. You also might leave with user-generated content. Typically, those activations have a lot of marketing budget into them because they want to look flashy and cute and fun and photographic, right? Because they know people will be taking pictures of it. So it's a really tangible way to market. And now that people are getting more creative with marketing, I feel that we will see more of that on the horizon.
Absolutely.
Thank you for sharing that. So we've had a great conversation here, Josh, and I could definitely continue to talk for a long time. And I'm sure we will see each other at AWE in like 2.5 months, which I'm really excited about. And if anyone's listening, Augmented World Expo, it is one of the places to be. It's the essential XR conference in the US. It happens every year. I think over 15,000 people came last year, which is kind of wild. But if you want to learn and be immersed and literally be at the place of where technology and innovation and XR is coming to fruition, hope to see you in Long Beach, June 11th through the 10th through the 12th. I'll have to go look at those dates. But Josh, where can people find you if they want to learn more about your work or follow what you're doing or learn more about Mace Virtual Labs?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, for any businesses out there interested in talking about XR technology and how to implement it intelligently, and especially to have a services partner like Mace, macevl.com, it's Mace Virtual Labs. And I'm also, like I said earlier, the chapter president for the VRARA in Houston. So if you're in the Houston area, love to connect and talk more about what you got going on, how we can work together. Also LinkedIn. Awesome.
LinkedIn. Okay. I'll be sure to link all of that in the show notes. That way the audience can find you, follow you, learn about all the cool things, and hopefully reach out if they have any questions about Mace Virtual Labs. But I like to end the conversations with guests with a random question that's relevant to their industry. So my question for you, Josh, is if you were to choose a VR title to express your personality, kind of like Enneagram style, what would that be? So for example, mine, I'm a Sagittarius. I would choose Pixel Ripped 1995, even though I was born in 89. I love the nostalgia of it. So what would your VR title pick be?
Ooh. I'm going to probably go with Walkabout Mini Golf.
Ooh, yes. Such a good one.
It's super accessible. It's all about community. It's all about having fun together. It can be just as much about the experience as it is about the community. And I spend a copious amount of time in the platform. So if you have a headset out there, you should be playing it. If you don't have a headset, you should get one and play it.
Absolutely. 10 out of 10, because it's the one place where my friends and I can go. We can just catch up while also playing a round of golf. Because with Beat Saber, it's hard to have a conversation while you're, you know, focusing on something. So, and you're right, it's accessible. So you can play standing up, you can play sitting down, you can play with a headset, without a headset. And I think that's what sets Walkabout Mini Golf apart from a lot of the other titles, is bringing all of that together in different layers, multimodal input, which we love. So thank you. That's a really good answer. Walkabout Mini Golf. Okay.
I appreciate so much the opportunity to be here, and I'm excited for our next conversation.
Likewise, Josh. Thank you so much for your time, and hope to see you again soon before we see each other at AWE. But if we don't, then have a great day and stay hydrated.
You too. Cheers.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Coffee and Code. Your support means everything, so be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. You can also follow us on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube for more insights, updates, and behind-the-scenes content. Stay curious, stay informed. Until next time, stay hydrated, and do something nice for someone.